You have tuned into a study of Galatians chapter 3. We welcome you to the Radio Bible Course on this verse-by-verse study. In the first five verses, Paul has asked five questions concerning the Galatians on how they received the Spirit. Was it by the works of the law? And the answer is obvious, no. And how about the miracles that were performed when you heard the preaching of the gospel? Was that because we were preaching law? No, it was by the Spirit. His series of questions here, five in all, but three concerned with the Spirit, is aimed at showing them that the Christian life is supposed to be walked by the Spirit, not by the flesh. Now, what do we mean by flesh? Well, flesh means human effort, or doing something in order to be more pleasing to God. You're relying upon yourself, obviously, and that's related to the keeping of laws. You see, the laws require your effort. And if you could be perfected by the law, it means you wouldn't need the Spirit, you would need determination. You would need to grit your teeth and try to live right, and then hope you would make it and hope you would grow. Now, that's what the Galatians were guilty of. They had begun with the Spirit who gave them a life of liberty, but then they were putting confidence in the flesh or human means to become completed or perfected, trusting in anything other than Christ alone or in addition to Christ is what Paul means by flesh here, and that's what they were guilty of. When we tend to put confidence in the keeping of laws, whether it be Sabbath law, tithing, foods, or worship, or rituals, or even doctrinal accuracy, as a means of becoming more acceptable to God, we are trying to perfect ourselves by the flesh. I do know of some Christians who think they are real Christians because they think they are doctrinally accurate. And they think only their church is the right church, and the way they baptize is the only right way, and unless you go along with them, you are not in Christ's church. Well, friends, we'll never be perfectly accurate in anything. As much as I study and have no denominational axe to grind, as much as I give myself to the Word of God, I still do not understand everything and will never be perfect in doctrine. So you can't judge me on that basis, and I don't judge myself on that basis, because God isn't holding me accountable to be perfectly accurate. His Word is truth, and if I give myself to it without bias, I'm likely to find truth, but I'll never know it all. You see, you don't have the truth, and your church doesn't, nor do I. The truth, Jesus said, is in the Word of God. He said, "Thy Word is truth." So if I could somehow get all of the Word into me, and then understand all of that Word, I would have a pretty good chance of knowing all the truth. But I can't possibly memorize the whole Scripture, and even if I did, I might be misinterpreting some of those passages. So, trying to be perfect in God's sight doctrinally is not going to make me acceptable. I am acceptable as a sinner because I put my trust in the one who was not a sinner. He is acceptable, and he is my righteousness, not my doctrinal accuracy. Paul began this chapter by saying, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" Well, he could say the same thing about many of us, because we have been led astray just like they did. Now, since God's blessing came by faith to the Galatians, why are they departing from faith to works? That's what Paul's question is all about here. Blessing came when they believed. No one received the Spirit by obedience to law or by being good. They received the Spirit through faith. Now Paul moves from the argument based on experience to the testimony of Scripture, and that takes us to verse 6 of Galatians chapter 3. He writes, "Thus Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. So you see that it is men of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, 'In you shall all the nations be blessed.' So then, those who are men of faith are blessed with Abraham, who had faith." Someone who is not familiar with the New Testament or even the Old Testament might fail to see Paul's argument here, because he talks about, by faith you are the sons of Abraham. Well, what's that got to do with being a Christian? Who cares whether we are sons of Abraham? Well, Paul brings it up because that's what the Jews were impressing upon the Galatians. They were saying, you must be circumcised in order to be pleasing to God, or you will not get in on the blessings of Abraham. And remember that the Messiah came from the stock of Abraham. Christ is a descendant, the descendant of Abraham, who is to bring blessing to all the world. And God made a covenant with Abraham. Therefore, if you're not somehow related to Abraham, and one of his descendants, by faith at least, then you're not going to get in on the blessings. So they were using Abraham as a test of whether these people were really God's people. And so that's why the Galatians were considering submitting to circumcision, so they could get in on the blessings that were promised in the Old Testament. Now, Paul uses that Abraham argument also, but he brings out another aspect of it. He's not so concerned about how Abraham was circumcised, but what the Scripture says about how Abraham was justified. And so he quotes from Genesis 15:6, and we have that quote here in verse 6. "Thus Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness." Now it's important to observe that it does not say Abraham believed in God. It says Abraham believed God. What's the difference, and what's the significance of it? Well, any place you go, you will find people saying they believe in God. The Muslims believe in God, the Buddhists believe in God, or gods. Everybody who has any kind of a religion will say he believes in God. And about the only one who will not concede that there is a God is an atheist. An agnostic is not sure that you can possibly know that there is a God. So when a person says, "I believe in God," he's not really telling you very much other than he won't argue about the existence of God. But when a man says, "I believe God," he is implying something very strongly, that there is a record and a revelation from God. It's written down, and he believes that revelation. Now, when it says Abraham believed God, it means that God spoke. He revealed something to him. And what was it that he revealed? Well, he revealed to him that he, as an old man, with a wife who was old and childless, would become the parents of a son. He'd be a miracle son. That's how old they were. And he said, from this son would come a multitude of descendants, like the sands of the sea and the stars of heaven. And so he called Abraham out and had him look up into the sky at night and say, "Count the stars, Abraham, if you can. That's how many descendants you're going to have." And Abraham was stunned. "But how could that be? That's incredible. I'm old, my wife is old, we have no children up to this point, And now I'm going to have that many descendants? You see, descendants meant an awful lot to a man back in that day. If he didn't leave any children, he felt like his life was wasted, it would disappear, and that's the end of him. But with descendants, his life kind of goes on and on. And that's a good feeling about having children, because you keep on living your life through them for generation after generation. And that's what Abraham was thinking. And then he considered, even though this is an incredible promise, I must consider who is making the promise. Someone has said, oh, it's hard to believe. Hard to believe God? Now, it's hard to believe men, because they back down on their promises. You can't trust people. And when you find one, honor that person. They are rare. Most politicians you can't believe. They'll change their minds, or they'll say something to get your vote, and then do what they want to do. A true friend is one you can count on. One who says he will do it, and he does it. One who says he will meet you, and he meets you. It's rare to find this kind of a person. And thank God, if you have friends, you can trust. But God here is the one who needs to be trusted. Can you trust God who cannot lie? Well, Abraham came to that point, and he said, I believe God. And the Hebrew word there for believe is amen. Abraham amened God. He agreed that God would do what he promised to do. And the result was, in Genesis 15:6, God declared him righteous forever. Or, as it says here in Galatians 3:6, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned, or counted, to him as righteousness. In other words, righteousness was put on his account at the command of God. Mark it down in the book. Abraham is righteous in the sight of God forever. Write it down and never change it. That's justification. He was justified by only believing God? Well, that's the most difficult thing to do. God is so pleased when he finds men who will trust him that he saves them. Give God the least excuse to save you, and he'll do it. And the least excuse is to do nothing other than believe. You too are honored when people believe you, and you are insulted if they doubt that you will do what you promised to do. Well, God is no different. He deserves men's trust, and he is insulted by doubt, and he is honored by faith. Can you believe God? The New Testament has hundreds of promises that you'll be saved by believing in Jesus Christ and doing nothing else. God wants to be your Savior. The Radio Bible Course is an independent Bible teaching ministry headquartered in Baton Rouge. It has no payroll, and it is supported by friends and listeners. We invite your letters. Till tomorrow, this is Nick Calavota reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.org.